Reprove, entreat, rebuke in all patience and doctrine. So says St. Paul to St. Timothy, both of whom were entrusted with the mission of the gospel and with the episcopate, both of whom were given the vocation by our Lord to teach, to govern, and to sanctify the flock. And so St. Paul was exhorting St. Timothy to be steadfast in his mission, in his vocation, which meant that very often he would find himself in opposition with those who had rejected the gospel of Christ, because then, as today, there were many who would not endure sound doctrine, but, as St. Paul says, according to their own desires, they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and will indeed turn away their hearing from the truth, but will be turned unto fables. And if that was true in the time of the apostles, it is so much more true today, when false doctrines abound. Modernism is, according to St. Pius X, the compendium of all heresies. And we have modernism in abundance today. So St. Paul was exhorting Timothy to be steadfast. But it was steadfast in two ways, and not in one way only, on either side. It was steadfastness in being faithful to his mission to preach the word, as he says, in season and out of season. He was supposed to preach the gospel, reproving and entreating and even rebuking doctrinally, preserving the faith as Jesus had handed it on, unadulterated. For our Lord handed on to us what he had received from his Father. Our Lord handed on to us the revelation of his Father, and it became the responsibility of the apostles and continues to be the responsibility of the successors of the apostles and all those who are entrusted with the gospel to hand it on. To hand it on as our Lord gave it to us. But St. Paul also says to St. Timothy to do all of this, not only in doctrine, but also in patience. St. Paul himself had labored over many different churches in the new Christian era and had suffered a great deal, as we know. And he says, as a part of his exhortation to St. Timothy, he says to him that he is to be sober, for even now I am ready to be sacrificed, and the time of my dissolution is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. St. Paul was not always successful. Not always was his preaching received well by people, and he suffered for what he said. He suffered for the souls that he preached to. And our Lord rewarded him for that. Our Lord was pleased with him for that, because isn't that, after all, the path that our Lord took? Our Lord spoke the truth in season and out of season, and ultimately it led him to the cross. And it was there at the foot of the cross, or on the cross, more than anywhere else, that our Lord accomplished his task. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Peter Canisius, who was a 16th century Jesuit in the time of St. Ignatius himself. He was a contemporary of St. Ignatius and was under, for a time, the tutelage of St. Ignatius. He was a German, St. Peter, but he entered religious life and was entrusted in many respects with the re-evangelization of Europe. He was sent to Switzerland and to Vienna during particularly difficult times when the Protestant heresy was being spread and many Catholics were and had lost their faith. And St. Peter went about doing whatever he could to restore the faith, not only by his preaching and teaching, he also taught in universities and helped establish universities in various places, but he also did it through his works of mercy and also through his writing. He was one of the first Jesuits to be considered a kind of literary man, a writer, and he wrote many tracts and theological treatises on the faith, and in a particular, with a particular respect for the conversion of the Protestants and the restoration of the faith. He had his own little exhortation that is consistent with that that we read about in the letter to St. Timothy, which I'd like to read. He is referring to the restoration of the Catholic faith among the German people and the pastoral method that would have to be adopted. He says, certainly an infinite number of them, referring to the Protestants, adhere to the new sectaries and err in religious belief, but they do so in such a way as proves that their errors proceed from ignorance rather than malice. They err, I repeat, but without contention, without willfulness, without obstinacy. And even those who were more conscientiously and defiantly unorthodox should not be met in a temper of asperity or with discourtesy. For this is nothing else than the reverse of Christ's example, inasmuch as it is to break the bruised reed and quench the smoking flax. And so as we strive and struggle in our age of heresy and modernism and immorality to preserve our sanctuaries, both of our churches and our families, and do so by reproving in all patience and doctrine, we should take to heart the words of great saints like St. Peter Canisius, who brought many people to conversion, that very often our success will depend upon our own virtue more than anything else, and our own willingness to suffer with Jesus Christ for the good of souls. And that's what brings the truth alive. That's what brings the doctrine of Christ alive. Our Lord's teaching comes alive when we look at the crucifix, because we see and understand that what he says is true. And when we persevere out of charity and genuine love for souls, especially souls who are lost, and even souls who may be incorrigible and obstinate in their ways, then we produce an icon of Christ in the world that people may see the merciful love of God and the fact that he speaks the truth and reproves and corrects and punishes even as a father and not as a tyrant. So we beg our Lord and Savior, our Blessed Mother, and St. Peter Canisius in a special way today for the conversion of the world and the salvation of all souls.
Misericordes, oh.